Off the Ball Rugby.
It feels like a summer tour, really, you know, and I think it's exciting to have a competition, and we certainly want to be, you know, at the business end of it come November, but it feels like a tour. And
join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome to episode 139 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every Friday with race previews, tips, analysis, stories, interviews, bit of crack as well. Reminder, folks, to the full Off the Ball Racing Pod each week is free wherever you get your podcasts. How you doing, Johnny?
Good, JD.
How was your racing week? We had the Derby last weekend to the Curragh, Benvenuto Cellini, atoning for Epsom.
Yeah, my plan was to go to Croke Park on Sunday, so I was going to miss the Derby, which I usually go to. And I woke up with my son, made him breakfast, came into the living room and found out that he'd spilled a bottle of Calpol either into himself or onto the couch. But certainly there was a possibility he'd helped himself to half a bottle of Calpol. So I ended up being in Crumlin for something like 6.5 hours to find out that he hadn't had much Calpol. But it was just one of these things.
They're just worried, obviously.
Worried, and you had to do it. They were brilliant in Crumlin, which is obviously in the news now because of Pico Lopez. So then I ended up not going to Croke Park for Galway's yet another dismal failure at Croke Park, and watched the Derby at my friend Kev's house, who you would know. So we watched the Derby and watched Croke Park. It was a great race to watch. I liked the footage of it, the drone footage of Ryan Moore's move on Benvenuto Cellini, who was kind of last in. And was not particularly well out of the stalls. It was a fascinating race, and good to hear favourable reports from the car over the weekend as well. You know, it's not a high standard in terms of the crowds they're looking for, but the bookies seemed happy, and it seemed to be a good day. 3 days.
You got the weather for it as well.
There are a lot of fair weather fans of everything, but the car, you know, it's just, it makes such a difference. We're going to get another nice spell of weather this week, but the car is still, it's a bit miserable when it's wet. They got good weather. Maybe they got a little bit too good for the ground. I got some reports that basically was like a little bit quicker than ideal, but I did a piece with Shane Ryder, who's the clerk of Roscommon, during the week, and there's quite a lot now of Met Aaron saying, like, we'll say we could get 30 mils and instead they get 10, and it's not Met Aaron's fault. It's hard to predict. I think the weather, the rain they were expecting at the Curragh just didn't materialise, so they raced on slightly quicker ground than usual. I have a piece tomorrow with Jim Bulger in The Currency, and he speaks about how he left the Irish Trainers Racehorse. He left the Irish Trainers Association because he disagreed with this idea that good to firm ground should be allowed at all on the flat. I completely disagree. I think good to firm ground, once it's safe, is absolutely fine, and you should be even striving for that in the summer. We'll have plenty of it in England tomorrow. But there are some tracks, I think, where good to firm might not work so well, particularly around bends. And I'd say the Curragh, it was just proper good to firm ground last weekend. I don't have a problem with that. It wouldn't have suited every horse.
Well, good to hear that your lad is okay.
He had to get like blood taken from both of his hands for a lad who's like 2 years of age. I was very proud of him because he hardly flinched at all. Like when he was put, and I don't like needles being put into me, but 6 hours in hospital. We found a fish tank, which helped, but 6 hours in hospital, we found out there's nothing wrong, which was a long time. But he enjoyed the Derby. Enjoyed the Derby, yeah. And he's getting into the football a bit as well.
Benvenuto Cellini beating Christmas Day, the Epsom winner, Pierre Bernard, in third. Where are these horses going now, do you think? Any to France in October?
Yeah, I suppose we'll talk about Constitution River and the context of the Eclipse tomorrow. It looks like Aidan O'Brien's three-year-old colts in that division are... there isn't much against them at the moment, really. You know, we had the Derby became a bit of a mess for race, but Aidan still kind of, he won it, and Benvenuto Cellini was a non-runner, but was basically a non-runner in many ways. Here he had horses dominating from start to finish, and you know, I was always of the mindset that it was very likely Benvenuto Cellini was just the best of these horses. I couldn't really see Christmas Day winning the Derby on that ground. I felt he emerged with great credit. Something really startling after the race. I'd never heard Aidan O'Brien before be so frank about a horse of his in a negative way, really. He said, when I was getting into racing, there was a horse called Antonius Pius. And if you've ever heard a horse being called a dog, it means that he's basically ungenuine or he's irresolute. Antonius Pius was the quintessential
hairy dog, is what I've heard.
He was really, really unwilling under pressure. Now, sometimes with horses, it's hard to know. Much of the time, the horse has nothing more to give. Antonius Pius found nothing off the bridle, and Jamie Spencer used to ride him, and I think he rode him in the Queen Anne, and he finished third. Found nothing. I think Asamoah won the race, I think. And Aidan O'Brien, I do remember saying afterwards, he answered his critics today, even though the horse had basically totally dogged it. Like, he just found nothing. But I've never heard him criticise one of his horses. Never heard him praise himself. Never heard him criticise one of his horses. And he said, after the Derby on Sunday, he said, "I had no faith after Epsom. I had no faith in the horse after Epsom." I've never heard him express such doubt. And it was also to point out that Ryan Moore had made the right choice. But the way this horse floats off that ground, he looked very, very classy at the Curragh. Probably wasn't an amazing Derby, but it was a good Derby. And I love the way he went through the race, got there too soon. And Ryan Moore rode an extraordinary race. And I would imagine he'll be a champion stakes horse, for all that he'll have work to do to be very, very good horses of the older generations.
Antonius Pius won his first two races, then he lost his next 12.
Yeah, he'd so much ability. Horse by Danzig, I think he was quite expensive, and he ended up going to stud, and he didn't have much of a stud career either, but I was intrigued by him when I was getting into racing around the time. Why does this horse not go through with his effort? And if you backed him, I'd often be a bit of a sucker for these horses, because they've so much ability, and you'd back them each way and he might finish third and you'd get a few quid out of it. But ultimately, Aidan, just even then, he couldn't criticise the horse, even though I'm sure privately he was cursing him. But I'd never heard him say anything like he said about Benvenuto Cellini, who I felt at Epsom just didn't go on the ground.
Anything else you took out of the weekend at the Curragh?
Loads, JD. A filly called Alpha won one of the two-year-old maidens for Aidan O'Brien. It was the first race on the third day. Alpha was taken on I Believe I Can Fly, that song that you might remember. And Alpha, yes, and I Believe I Can Fly, when they met at Leopardstown, and this is why I love these Leopardstown meetings, you get these unraced, beautifully bred horses. Alpha by See the Stars, I Believe I Can Fly by Frankel. When they met at Leopardstown, I Believe I Can Fly was even money out to 2-1, and Alpha was 6-1 into 2-1, and Alpha duly bet I Believe I Can Fly but couldn't win on that night, finished second, but really stamped her authority here. She's out of Alpha Centauri by See the Stars, which is an unusual pedigree for Aidan O'Brien to have, but I think they might have bought Alpha Centauri when she was in foal to See the Stars. It was an extraordinary performance from the front under Ryan Moore. I thought she was brilliant. And then one of the other maidens on the over the weekend was on the Saturday, Giant Sequoia was good. He won at 4-9, beating Oklahoma. And I thought generally the Ballydoyle 2-year-olds were very, very good. Abraham Lincoln, a third 2-year-old. These are all great names. Abraham Lincoln, Giant Sequoia, Alpha. Abraham Lincoln, I thought he was weak in the betting in that Cadian Hotel, Irish EBF maiden. I felt he put in a very nice performance. And you're always dreaming of the future with these horses. It'd be nice to be involved in one, but even as a punter, exciting stuff.
Our thoughts as well with the family and friends and racing colleagues of Graham Bradley, former Cheltenham Gold Cup winning jockey, who's died this week at the age of 65. So many tributes to Graham, including from John Frankham and the Racing Post. Graham won in 1983 the Gold Cup on Bregon, which was, remember, uniquely, I don't know if you do your history, Johnny, that the first five were trained home by Michael Dickinson, yeah?
Never been repeated, yeah.
And then Graham won the champion hurdle on Collier Bay in the 90s. He won the Irish Grand National on Rhyme and Reason in 1985. Wayward Lad was a horse he was highly associated with, and he'd had dementia for the last few years. So sad news for Graham Bradley, who's passed away.
Yeah, I was always aware of his name. He would have been riding before I got into racing, really, and it was very, very sad to hear of, you know, moving to France and then almost getting dementia straight away. And his wife said it was very frustrating for him. It sounded like he'd a somewhat checkered career in that he'd gotten into trouble a bit with sort of passing on information and this and that, that he basically was punished quite heavily for. But it was interesting to, you know, hear the likes of David Elwood said, I'd massive time for him. If you read the tributes, they were really genuine tributes.
Yeah, they were.
Pat Healy gave a nice tribute to him, Brad, as he was called, guy from Weatherby. His dad was a very good trainer as well. He seemed to be a very stylish rider who, I think David Elwood said he didn't have the most conventional way of dealing with his fame. And there was a lot of kind of relative fame in his era of jockeys like Frankham and later McCoy and all that. Tony Adrian Maguire and really good riders.
Richard Dunwoody, yeah.
Richard Dunwoody. And it's a very pressurised game, and ultimately it's just very sad that it ended like that for him. But may he rest in peace.
Yeah, I remember when Ireland couldn't buy a winner at times at Cheltenham, and then French Ballerina, even remember for the Magniers, I think it was, in 1998, in the Supreme Novices, at the first race of the meeting, I think it was Pat Flynn.
Pat Flynn, yeah.
And Graham Bradley rode it, I remember. It was, and because I would watch sometimes the old Cheltenham's back in the Channel 4 coverage and see how McCrerick did his job or how they'd presented it. And I think it was very well done back then. And an Irish winner was a rarity sometimes. And to be really savoured now, it's just routine. And that's the brilliance of Woody Mullins and everything, but it was a different time, and I remember Graham riding French Ballerina at that time.
Yeah, well, when I started to watch Cheltenham, like, you did cheer on the Irish winners, but that was in I started watching Cheltenham in 2003. Like, when you go back to the, say, the 80s in particular, and even the early 90s, Ireland was quite poor and was had the history of, since the formation of the state, of being probably a failed state. And in sporting terms, like, we got so, you know, poor countries get incredible joy out of winning sporting events. It was like if Ireland won in Twickenham, even if you didn't understand the rules of rugby, this meant something amazing to beat England. If Ireland beat England in Italia 90, you know, you'd celebrate it forever. And an Irish winner at Cheltenham was a bit like that as well. And Irish racing, there wasn't much money in the country, so it was something to cherish. And he was definitely a very, very appreciated rider in terms of the lovely style that he had and how horses would jump for him.
So the Eclipse you mentioned there earlier in the show, Johnny, is the big race of the weekend at Sandown, a Group 1 race, 3:35 post time, good to firm ground in places in the round course, good ground at Sandown, but look, it'll be quick round, won't it? Seven runners, which is a bit annoying. Constitution River, look, is the French Derby winner over the distance. Ryan Moore's quotes, quite a special horse, quite a rare horse. That says a lot to me when the best jockey says that. The horse sets the standard, coming from a wide draw as well to win Ashanti, and showed a lovely turn of foot for me to win the D Stakes. I think he wins,
yeah. And the seven runners doesn't bother me so much here because I'm just backing him. You know, if you look at the really good renewals of the Eclipse, we have three horses here who are not three: Sadad, King's Gambit, and Getten. And they're just not superstars. That's the thing. Like, it's don't jump to conclusions here that this horse is going to win, because he's taken on Getten, who's rated 117, and Sadad is a good horse. It was a good run at the Curragh the last day, so he has to take on the older horses and win. And it's hard to know how good this three-year-old generation is, but there is something about him. That run at Shanty, it was a messy trip, even though the tactics worked out really well and he won. There's no way most horses get away with the way Ryan Moore rode him out wide, like the ground he had to give up coming into the straight wide. It was, if I backed that horse in a handicap, I wouldn't have been happy almost at any stage, because he shouldn't have won from the draw. The way that the tactics worked out were brilliant, and it's that form that's key here. Hawk Mountain, who was second, went in blinkers the last day, cheek piece the day before, now cheek pieces again. And obviously a boy named Susie, who was a very eye-catching fourth, and it doesn't have that much to find, take him on. I don't feel Sadad should be good enough to beat him, and it'll probably be left to Getten to be the biggest danger. But this horse is one of the most beautiful looking animals you'll see, and he should be improving with time. And I do wonder where he fits in with Benvenuto Cellini, but he does look extremely good, and the small field will be, in my view, will be a lot more suitable to him than the big field that he had to negotiate in Shanty. They have put in Flushing Meadows, who isn't actually a bad horse, but I imagine he will try to kind of just make the pace. But once Constitution River is up with the speed, it won't bother him at all. It shouldn't matter if they didn't have a pacemaker in the race. I do feel he's very, very good. And if he were taking on Ombudsman, I wouldn't fancy him, but he's not taking on Ombudsman. And it's not a grave renewal of the race. It's really like Shanty Mark II. And Shanty was a good race, but, like, you know, it's the three-year-olds.
A boy named Susie, if you're backing a horse without Constitution River, which you can sometimes do with the betting, that's the one I would back. second behind Christmas Day, over 9 furlongs at the Curragh last year, and in 2026, third in the Ballysack Stakes at Leverstown before finishing that fourth in the French Derby. Didn't get a clear run. Joseph O'Brien, rather, has kept a boy named Susie for here. It was 8 runners, it'd be all over it each way.
I did a bet last night, betting without the favourite at Bailiestown. It was a 6-1 shot. I got 2-1 without, and it was well backed, and it definitely should have been second, but it wasn't. It finished third, and it was going into Spain to win in the football, and was all this. So it was a betting without bet that I was very excited by. It didn't come off, but it's a very good bet, Chitty, if you're like, you're not going to be the favourite. And the bookmakers will always offer you odds on that. I think I spoke last week, I was lathering about
Johnny Cash songs.
A boy named Sue and that, like, and somebody was described to me who was quite litigious. Somebody said he's a boy named Sue, and I said, where did they get a boy named Susie from? And it's only dawned on me today, Soho Susie is the dam of this horse.
So
Star Spangled Banner out of the Monjou bred Soho Susie, and a boy named Susie. I definitely feel if the race were run again, Maxine Guion rode as Sean T. just got traffic up the rail in a race that was, as I say, like clockwork for the first three home, could well have finished second. This is a better race.
I've been to this 21 years ago. Oratorio beat Motivator.
What
the Derby
a
winner.
Lovable horse. That was a good era. Oratorio was a really tough, hardy horse. Small, found everything. The absolute antithesis to Antonius Pius.
I was, you know, I don't know what you call it, but not the stands.
He'd be motivated, did you say?
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah. You know what, when the post, when you're behind the winning post,
yeah,
on the other side, yeah, of the stands, I was there. So I watched Kieran Fallon and Johnny Mercer come up the straight, and Fallon was whistling.
You could hear the whistle.
At Oratorio to beat Motivator, the Derby winner, which was a big shock at the time.
Motivator was a very, very good Derby winner. Johnny Mercer rode, yeah, didn't he? Around the time of Michael Beltrane,
right,
and authorised two of them by Monjou. And this is why the Eclipse is a great race, where you get the Derby winner taking on other horses like Oratorio, and I've a great fondness for that time, because I was mad into racing. Oratorio was a really likable horse, but that was a great renewal, no doubt. We've had good winners. I'm not sure where this race kind of stacks up.
It's probably not as exciting as the City of Troy's win a couple of years ago.
No, that actually was brilliant. We had Delacroix win it last year. Paddington was good. St Mark's Basilica, Gay at the Nable, Roaring Lion. Yeah, we've had good winners in recent years. Maybe it's not quite the vintage of older years, but it's a good race on this. I'm really looking forward to it. I think if you haven't a bet, just have a look at the favourite and how beautiful he is in the pre-parade, and take in the monster that he is.
Millreef, Sadler's Wells, Nashwan and Dancing Brave, past winners of this race, as well See the Stars and Pilsudski, who was a big winner in lots of big races.
I actually remember thinking See the Stars, I thought it was his least impressive performance.
Right.
Maybe I was harsh on him. Did he beat Rip Van Winkle that day? I thought he looked okay. I thought, like, because it was like a mile and two, but little did we know he was going on to win the Champion Stakes in the Ark after this in even better style.
The Carl Charge then is a 5 furlong race at 150 to get the day's proceedings underway at Sandown. You've got Asfor in here, the Australian, a horse who's won 3 Group 1s, hasn't been running that well last year, but bounced back with a decent enough performance at Royal Ascot last time to be 7th as a 9-4 shot. Runstar was course and distance winner of this last year, so has been in and out at times, but did win this last year, so we know he likes it. Words of Truth is the 3-year-old in the race, who once again won over the course and distance last time. I think it's between the three of them.
I'm not sure, really. I'm not sure you can trust that, even at this stage, that Asfora is back. Like, it was a good run at Ascot, but I'm not sure it was good enough to suggest that, he'd be a good thing in this race. He's rated 112. Even Shagran, if he gets sort of a bit of luck in running, I'd be certainly looking at Words of Truth in terms of a 3-year-old, who you can probably rely on running the race. Like, you know, and I suppose if he keeps improving, he was actually third to Mission Central Alaska last year, which gives him a vague collateral edge over the favourite. It's a tricky race. It's a very fast 5 furlongs here at this track, and at a push I'd probably go with Shagran each way, but it's not a race I'd be confident about at all. Get ready to rumble. One of the each way contenders in the race was third to Mission Central at Nace. I tipped him that day. I thought he was very unlucky, but his limitations have probably been a bit exposed since. He's been very slowly away as well the last couple of times.
I think for Shagran and Get Ready Trumbull, I think they're near career bests to win this. Rumstar should be there or thereabouts. Words of Truth, I think, look, is obviously an improving type. And Asphora is the best horse in the race, but can she produce her best on the day?
Yeah, that'd be the question mark. Interesting to see Colin Keane as well riding for the first time.
Partisan Hero
for David Loughnan's good trainer. You know, that good run behind Sonda the last day at Epsom will definitely need to step up here. 6-year-old, it's a tricky little race. You know, it's tricky race. I wouldn't be getting involved.
Yeah, probably you don't have to have a bet in every race, and that's probably one not to have a bet in, maybe just to watch. We also have the Lancashire Oaks being run tomorrow. Is this at Newmarket? This was a strange, it must have been like diverted from Haydock or something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact reason for that, but yes.
2:40.
Yeah.
That's Saturday. I mean, this looks to be all about Tiffany, doesn't it? She's been knocking on the door for Mark Prescott.
Yeah, he wouldn't. I suppose Mark Prescott's at the veteran stage now. You wouldn't see him have too many horses. And there still seems to be a lot of respect for his horses in the market, such that Tiffany is 11-10. And it was good to firm ground the last day. I'd say it's going to be quick ground tomorrow when second is Sean T. Noel Meadson's over caught you sleeping.
Well,
that's a bit of a chance.
She stay?
That's a big question mark, JD. I wouldn't be overly confident on pedigree. And now, for all that she was, you know, she got to 1 mile two relatively well the last day at Naas, and that's a stiff finish. She'd been running over shorter. I think it's worth the go. Like, if you're going to go for a race like this, why not? It's a stakes race that isn't desperately strong. But I suppose the only thing against Tiffany is the price. Like 11-10, very, very solid. Second to Bay City Roller, two runs back. I mean, that form obviously reads very well in the Prevon Byron. Never seems to run a bad race. Ground versatile. Visor replacing cheapies would make me slightly question what's going on there. Tattycoram.
Yeah, probably Leech Way play that for me, Tattycoram, because we know that she gets the distance.
Yeah, absolutely gets the distance. Like, and looked fairly limited last year when four to whirl, but, you know, and has gone up now to a mark of 98. Of the other runners, Miss Justice, I'd definitely be interested in Miss Justice. Is a mare by Justify. They put on the tongue tie on and did seem to get the mile and a half quite well the last day. Won at Southall over a mile and a half previously. And seems to be roughly worth her mark, which will give her a chance. Don't know much about the rider, Joe Levy.
We have Sam Norris from William Hill on the line. How are you, Sam?
A very good chap, yeah. It was a hole that opened up on the ground at Haydock in one of their meets back in May. But they're going to get racing again in August, so they are able to rectify it. But that's why we've got a Lancashire Oaks down at Newmarket this weekend.
Yeah, we got a Tipperary race in Naas as well, the Blackbird Tipperary race. And so it's all getting, we're all getting jumbled up with counties and places. The Coral Eclipse, is there a deluge on Constitution River? Is there a river of money for him or not?
Really strong in the betting, yeah. We don't always see punters wanting to play kind of odds on shots midweek before the Saturday rolls round, but we've seen plenty of Constitution River. Initially 11-10, that's all been eroded now into 5-6. Obviously, it was a fantastic job with the tactics, the team tactics at Shanty, which got Constitution River the win in that French Derby. He sets the standard on that win. I mean, his win at Chester when he broke the clock in the D Stakes prior to that was arguably even more impressive. They've got the pacemaker in for him here in the shape of Flushing Meadows. It's interesting that Wathnan seemingly run a pacemaker as well in King's Gambit, who he thinks there to set the fractions for Gethin and might rough up Flushing Meadows on the front end. So interesting to see how the race pans out. Obviously, there's seven of them. We've got three places with the each way extra market as well. And I did think a boy named Susie might be worth a little dart here each way for Donnacher O'Brien. I watched the French Derby back again this morning. I mean, he found traffic everywhere he went. It was a nightmare trip through, really, under Maxime Guillon. So granted a clearer passage today. He was closing on the Ballydor trio at the death when he finished fourth that day in France. I think he could be interesting. He's 9-1 in the two place market. He's 7-1 in the three place market. Maybe Donnacher to spoil the party for Dad Aidan, I think. But yeah, Constitution River is very strong in the race.
That's a great offer. Like, if you've, so, you know, conventional bookmaker, seven runners. And I probably overemphasize this nowadays because if you go online, you know, nearly every bookmaker has a different each way kind of credential in our terms. But 7-1, three places, if you like a boy named Susie, that is absolutely the best.
Price, yeah.
I feel, Sam, that I know you're talking about roughing up the pacemaker. I don't feel it'll matter at all to Constitution River in the sense of he's just very straightforward. And how dare you, by the way, suggest that team tactics or ever a thing.
It's never ever happened in horse racing. In the history of horse racing, in jumps or flat, there's never ever been team tactics. We want to put that on the record We want to put that on the record officially here on the Racing Pod. There's never ever been team tactics.
The poor old Christophe Soumillon kind of got off a bit during the week as well. So
reduced his band, didn't they?
Reduced his band. They were like, he did it, but he kind of didn't really mean to do it. So it was like,
there's never ever been team tactics in horse racing. Never.
That's why the couple horses in the States, shitty, and I don't have an issue with it. It's like we have to be a little bit realistic about it, I think.
The Carl Charge is interesting for me. Can you work this out? Because we kind of seem not to be able to. And I think the prices are pretty bad anyway. If you think of the, like, it's one of these things where you got the first three, it'll be one of the first three, and then they get, one of them gets beaten by something else.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've probably said it on the podcast before, we always feel like we can get results in sprint races, no matter the grade, even the top group ones. We always feel comfortable about getting a result. We're top price on us four at the moment, 9-4 from 2-1. I mean, she's the one to beat, given some of her form. You know, Nunthorpe winner, Abbey winner, King Charles winner. It's only a Group 3 today, and she's got all those Group 1s on the CV. But she's looked kind of regressive this season. Hasn't looked as good as in previous years. They've obviously kept her in England training-wise this year. She hasn't been shuttling back and forth to Australia. But, yeah, I think she might be a horse whose powers are maybe on the wane a little bit, even though for a three-time Group 1 winner, a Group 3 should be well within range. So we're happy to take her on, hence why she's 9-4 and it's 2-1 in most other places. Preferred Words of Truth in the race, who got within a length of the subsequent King Charles winner, Mission Central, as a two-year-old. Obviously on a line of form through that horse, you'd say Words of Truth's got a chance of beating As For It. Yarda in a bit better form now, took the drop down in trip to 5 furlongs really well. That was here last time around, so 1-1 over the C&D. Words of Truth was the one we kind of preferred in the race, but happy to take on As For It.
Tiffany was the jeweller's Breakfast at Tiffany's. Will Tiffany be buying necklaces and diamonds and bracelets for people if it wins tomorrow in the Lancashire Oaks?
Not big enough a price, I think.
I thought you were going to go down the I think we're alone now route, Tiffany.
We have a bit more class in the show.
Was that Tiffany? I think we're alone now. What a banger. Yeah.
Doesn't seem to be anyone around.
Yeah, that song brings me back to the Gaeltacht. You know what's funny? Like,
your first kiss, Johnny.
Bill Withers came on the other day, lovely day, and it reminded me of my first trip to Dublin. And my first kiss, wasn't my first kiss in the Gaeltacht? I think it was my last, actually. But and I Believe I Can Fly. We've had a lot of reasons not to sing today.
Yes. I think it was on US number one. She did well, Tiffany, in the charts.
Tiffany's too short, though, to be buying too much in the way of jewellery, I think.
Does she win, or are you going to take her on, Sam?
She's another one, much like As For It, that we're happy to get in the book. We're 11-10 about her. We're not bowled over by some of the form in Germany and France. I mean, bar perhaps the run behind Bay City Roller, obviously that does look the standout piece of form. But she's been globetrotting, obviously comes back to the UK for the first time since 2024. I think the thing punters have probably latched onto is this is a weak group too. I don't know whether the fact that they've rerouted it to Newmarket from Haydock and horses who were maybe going to go for this race are less inclined to now that it's at Newmarket. So it does look a soft group too, where most of the form is in listed company. Like you guys, I thought Tatti Coram was the clear each way play in the race. 8-1 with William Hill is Tatti Coram. Her win over Kodana at Goodwood looks really good now. That horse ran a cracker behind a Strange at Carlisle, then went on to win at Pontefract. So yeah, with that form in the book, I thought Tatti Coram was the way to play it. But again, Tiffany is going to be a horse that we will be happy to lay our fair share of.
Now, Nace has got a couple of two-year-old races, Johnny, on Saturday, a couple of listed races. So we've got Carry the Flag odds on to win the Blackbird Tipperary Stakes 5 furlong race over with 10 runners. So there's each way value here. Good ground, 2:33 the post time. Does Carry the Flag win? It was like obviously behind Great Barrier Reef at the Curra, but then somewhat disappointing to be 9th in the Norfolk Stakes at Royal Ascot, but that's a much higher level than this, obviously.
Yeah, The form of the horse kind of does stack up, to be fair. I just wouldn't be mad on the price. Carry the Flag, I didn't think the lassie that he'd too many excuses. What's he going to be like, around 8-11? I thought
it's 13.
It's 13. The interesting as well, Ronan Whelan, the Derby winning rider, riding. You're looking at alternatives, JD.
What about this Ablatai at the top? Ran well to just fail behind Carry the Flag on his second start.
Yeah, I was
at that, 80 it was to a, 1 in the day.
It's interesting. Well, that was a dead heat, so you're kind of looking at the form, and it was like it was second. Interesting horse, actually. And in fairness to
the, owned by the Keelings. I wonder
the Keelings, Joe Keelings, yeah.
Connection to the
Strawberries.
Yeah,
that's Joe Keelings. And it was a former, he was on the HRI board, long term. Backer of Michael Grassick. To be fair to Carry the Flag, he's run behind Great Barrier Reef when Immortal Guard was third in the Marble Hill. That should be good enough. I'd kind of maybe give him a little bit of a pass on Royal Ascot, and he was a shortish price there, but there's Aqueduct closed for the last time on Sunday. It was very sad because it was the racetrack nearest to my nearest to my cousins in the States, and I don't know if you're ever going racing the States. There's like a, so I'm going to try to make the noise for, like, I don't know, is it an ambulance sound or is it like a trumpet? But I fancy a horse at 25 to 1, like I haven't fancied a horse in a long, long time in the other Nace race.
Johnny, you got a fancy.
Get your bets on, win, place, and show in the 4:35. No, it's not 4:35.
It's not bad.
Let me get this horse good. Up
the
here.
3:44, the Pat Smullen Stakes.
The Pat Smullen Stakes.
Johnny Ward.
Whoa, never. 25,
whoa, whoa, never no more.
25 to 1. And weirdly enough, the horse is not by, no, nay, never. He's by Wooden Bassett, which is probably where the whoa comes in. Bear with me on this. He was third behind a long odds on favourite of a stablemate at Goran, Fulsome Blue. And he was very, very green, like very green. He came into the straight. His head was all over the place. Declan McDonough, I think it was Declan McDonough rode him. He hit him once or twice, never got near the winner. But that form alone more than entitles him to run here. And those at the top of the market are way too short on what they've achieved. Way too short. He should be 7 or 8 to 1.
Is this your each-way charity bet this week?
Oh, yes. And just, I plead with the
whoa,
Lord.
Whoa, never. Is Johnny Ward's charity bet this week on the Racing Pod? 25 to 1 for 25 each-way. Gamble responsibly.
And there will be people saying, well, whoa, never. He's never actually had a winner. But this horse at 25 to 1, let's hope they all turn up, is a cracking each-way bet.
3:44, the Pat's Mullen Stakes in memory of the great man, a mile over the trip this is on Saturday now for Johnny Ward's charity bet each way at Nace on good ground, so have a year each way if you're going to get involved. So Florida Bay cost 375 grand in terms of guineas, has shaped if a mile would suit, including when winning a 7 furlong maiden at Ferry Heads, but you're not so convinced obviously at the prices.
Well, yeah, like that. I just don't think that race was that strong. And you look at it. He won workmanlike. The form has worked out okay from Ferry House, but like, and he was well back. But like, his form is just, it's fine. He's a rare Maymass trained by Aidan O'Brien. And what interests me is that one number is so short, even though he's only run over 6 furlongs. So he's stepping up to mile. He was eye catching at the Curragh, but that form hasn't worked out, and he was disappointing on latest. And the, like, Whoa Never has so much. He's really well bred by he's so much scope to do better over the mile here at Nace. And I love bets like this. The only worry is that obviously he loses. The other worry is that there'll be 7 runners.
Sam, do you have anything else you want to highlight over the weekend, please?
I'd probably just touch on the Old Newton Cup, which is probably one of the other big betting races on the Newmarket card. Another one that's usually run at Haydock and has been switched because you've got Class Leader, who's fab for that race. He's favourite for the Ebor handicap. He won very impressively in the Jorvik handicap at York last time around. So he goes for the big one in August. But he does take a big bite out of the market, and the tracks that he's done his winning on are a bit more conventional, a bit flatter than Newmarket, so it'll be interesting to see how he handles the undulations in that race. And we have seen a bit of a nibble on Paddy the Squire for that contest, who was behind Class Leader at York, but he needed the run that day. He stripped much fitter when he was third last time around, so he's just been trimmed into 15 to 2 now, Paddy the Squire. He might be one to watch in the Old Newton Cup. And of course, we'll have an epic boost going live on the racing tomorrow from 9 a.m. as well, so you can stay tuned for that. And I promise I won't run off after this to trading and tell them to cut Whoa Never after Johnny's given it the big build up there.
Yeah, it's a couple of other bookmakers have a price similar-ish, so hopefully it'll stand for a bit.
Anything else you want to mention, Johnny?
Yeah, I very much like one of our friend Aidan McGuinness's at Nace, JD, the Point Cartwright in the 4:53, the Care at Home handicap, 16 runners there, so really good each way terms.
Number six, point Cartwright.
Horse by Space Blues, but stays well and looks bang there on the last couple of runs. Great each way bet.
That was episode 139 of the Racing Pod. Sam Norris and William Hill, thank you.
Cheers, lads.
And Johnny Ward, thank you for the songs this week on the Racing Pod. That was the Racing Pod for this week. Reminder, folks, it's free wherever you get your podcast, the Off the Ball Racing Pod. Enjoy the racing this weekend. Look forward to having your company next Friday. We'll chat then.
The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Off the Ball Rugby.
Feels like a summer tour, really, you know, and I think it's exciting to have a competition, and we certainly want to be, you know, at the business end of it come November, but it feels like a tour. And
join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.